started doing the liturgy, how much that's also worship, just like when we have the praise and worship, and just like when we're doing other things. But everything really should be worship to the Lord. You know, as we go now into the Word, I just want to have a word of prayer. Lord God, I just pray that you would speak to us today, that we would continue to worship you, that we continue to press in, Lord God, that you would bring us into that Holy of Holies so we can just learn more about you and really seek to have that relationship with you, that close personal relationship with you. We thank you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, turn with me to, I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now, I'm going to be speaking about the Torah portion, Tetzaveh, and the Torah portion and this part of Exodus is centering all around the priesthood, the priests and what the priests did. And we're going to be talking about that today. But I have you turning to Deuteronomy 33. It's 33:10, by the way. And I'm going to set this up because the Torah portion, almost all of it centers around the priesthood. And I would say that the priests are arguably, maybe unarguably, the most important function in ancient Israel. The most important part of what is being done. The most important people. If you had roles in our society for the most important people today, we would say, okay, doctors are very important and whatever. You can go down the list. There's a lot of important professions and peoples. But the most important profession back then was the priesthood. And we need to really have an understanding of what the priest did. Because a lot of believers, most believers, don't have a full understanding of the priesthood, the functions, the roles of the priests. Because when we study the functions and roles of the priests, we study the functions and roles of us as believers under this covenant with the Lord, this new covenant, the Brit Hadashah. And the priests are called Kohanim. As you go to Deuteronomy 33, let me just read that out loud. Deuteronomy 33:10, and it's talking about the priests here. They shall teach Jacob, meaning Israel, the nation of Israel, they shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. This is a short list, a very concise list of the priesthood. So I'm going to give you a few things that are sort of listed in here and expound on it. Some of the things that the priests did were, number one, they took care of the tabernacle, which we see in Exodus, and starting in Numbers, we're going to see them do that. And later on, they took care of the temple. So they have the functions, the priesthood, of taking care of the tabernacle, the temple. Number two, they raised sheep and lambs for the daily sacrifices. Number three, they taught the Torah. Number four, they determined whether a person was sick or healthy. Remember in the Gospels when Yeshua said, go to the priests and show yourself to the priest. They'll mark you down as clean or unclean and all that. That's what the priest did. So they do a lot more than just what we typically think. But number five, and of course, very importantly, they administered the sacrifices. So today we're going to be talking about who these priests were, what they did. But by studying the priesthood, as I said, it gives us an idea of more than just the priesthood. The priesthood, the most important function in Israel, really is supposed to be a witness to the larger community of Israel, to the larger nation of Israel. So the priests and their functions and their roles gives us an idea of what God meant for Israel. And then today, the priests and their roles gives us a function and understanding of what God means for us as believers, as followers of Yeshua. Now first, go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. God has a plan for the nation of Israel. It wasn't just to miraculously take them out of Egypt and then put them into a land and then there you go, enjoy your life, live happily ever after. God's purpose for Israel is really summed up, ancient Israel and Israel the nation is summed up in Exodus 19:6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. It's not enough that the priests would be priests administering and doing these things. God wanted the entire nation to have, so to speak, that understanding that they are a priesthood. The whole nation is a priesthood. And of course, studying about the nation of Israel gives us an idea of how Adonai wants us to be as followers. Now turn with me to the Brit Hadashah, the last book in the Bible, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. So we see that Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests, so to speak. And now we see in Revelation 1, 6, and this is talking about all believers, talking about Jew and Gentile in Messiah. And he has made us a kingdom, priests to be to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have a role to be priests, so to speak, as believers, as followers of Yeshua, as standard bearers of Yeshua. So that's how important this is. This isn't just let's study the Torah and let's understand what they did, and then we're going to move on to what we do today. By understanding the priesthood, we understand who we are in Messiah a lot better. So let's dive right in. Exodus 28. You know, Exodus 27, 20 talks about a little bit more of what the last portion was talking about, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, and then later on, of course, the temple. But in Exodus 28 and Exodus 29, we get a real peer in to the priesthood. Exodus 28, 1. Then bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. When we look at the priesthood, we look at all these functions that they did, we look at all the things that they had their hands on and that they had their hands in. You can really summarize, and I really meditated on this, what did the priests do? When we think of overarching concepts, overarching themes, what was the priesthood all about? Well, number one, in Exodus 28, 1 tells us the priests were to serve the Lord. By and large, in general, no matter what, the priests firstly were there to serve God, to serve Adonai. We see in this Torah portion the beginnings of that priesthood. They were from the tribe of Levi. And from that tribe, those priests that were administering the sacrifices and in the tabernacle and later the temple, they were a subset of the tribe of Levi. They were from the line of Aaron, because not all of the tribe of Levi was to do this function. And then Aaron and his sons and the descendants after them were chosen as priests, not because they were better than the other Levites, not because they were better than the other children of Israel, not because they were better than anyone else in the world. He didn't just say, okay, I want the real holy people. I want the people that really love me. I want the people that really follow me to be priests. No, they were not any better than the other tribes, any better than the other peoples. But it's simply by God's grace that they were chosen to serve the Lord. We have to think about that. They were chosen specifically because of God's grace, not because of anything that they did. And as we go through their roles, remember, we can ask ourselves as believers in Yeshua, how are we to serve God? You know, the overarching themes of this priesthood, just as the priests were chosen by the grace of God, not because they did anything special or because they were better than anyone else, we have been awakened, we have been saved, not because we're better than anybody out there. So let's not think that we're better than the average person out there that maybe doesn't know the Lord or is not following God. We are no better. We have been chosen by grace. We have been brought forth. We have been awakened by grace. Now, that's a whole other discussion about predestination, not predestination. I personally believe that God calls all people. He is like shouting out to all people, but only some people are listening. Sometimes we listen to God when we're at a low point, and we know that a lot of people come to the Lord when they just don't have anything else, and they seek out and they cry out to God, and then they start listening. And some people, they have another situation going on in their lives. And that's how they come to the Lord. It's not because they're any better. It's because they're seeking Him. We have been chosen by grace. We have been awakened and saved, not by things we've done, but by what God has done. So we need to remember that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Turn with me there. I've got a lot of scripture today, so you know, if you got a little notepad, maybe just write everything down, because I know I'm going to go quick, because I want to get these scriptures in, and I want to give us that proper understanding, not just about studying the historical priesthood, but studying our role as believers today. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. The priests were not doing it because they were better, because they were thought of as more holy and devout and pious. It's because God just said, you." God could have picked another tribe. God could have picked another group of people in the tribe of Levi. He didn't. He picked those people. Many people say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. Yes. Not because the Jews are any better. God could have picked, I don't know, he could have picked the Brazilians. He could have picked the Koreans. He could have picked the whatever. He chose the Jewish people. Not because they're any better, but because they've just been chosen by God to do what we have done. So first and foremost, chosen by grace, the priests were to serve the Lord, the one and only God of creation, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel. Now, here's the thing. The Kohanim, the priests, they were special. They were set apart. They didn't have their own lands. We'll see soon how the lands were divided up. This tribe had this portion of land. You know, this tribe had the hill country up here. This tribe was down here. Well, Levi didn't have a land. They didn't have their own lands. They were to serve God first, and their service to God was to be a priority. And I think one of the reasons God didn't give them land was so that they could properly have as their priority the Lord, that they wouldn't be worried about tilling their lands or doing, because everything was agriculture back then, right? Having your land was a real sign of your identity. But the priesthood should not be identified in what they have. They should find their identity in God himself, okay? So the first thing is the priesthood were to be chosen, not because of anything they did, but because God chose them. They were to be putting God first, making God a priority. Matthew 6:33 tells us as believers, you could turn with me to Matthew 6:33. God tells us as believers, we're not to be preoccupied with our lands, so to speak. Yes, we have our own lands or our own houses or our own things or jobs or whatever it is, families, but we're not to be preoccupied with those things. We're to serve God first, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's not in the business of doing one thing back in the Old Testament or back in Exodus, Leviticus, whatever, and then doing something else later. His themes are universal, but his themes are paralleled over and over in Scripture. So when he says, put me first priesthood, he's saying to us as a royal priesthood, put me first. Do we have a priority system in our lives that puts God first? Or are we too caught up in our little patch of land that we have? Are we too caught up in our world, whether it's even our family or our jobs, or whatever we're doing at the synagogue even? Or are we putting God as a priority first? We have got to put God as our priority, and all these things will be added unto us. Now, the priests had to do this. They didn't have their own land, and it's even more specific than that. They were totally separated. When they had a family member that died, turn with me to Leviticus 21 as I'm setting this up for us. Leviticus 21, 11 and 12 explains this. When they had a family member that died, when they had parents that died, they couldn't go and touch the body. They couldn't go and be around the body. That's how separated the priesthood had to be. Leviticus 21, 11 and 12. He shall not go into any dead bodies or make himself unclean, even for his father or for his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, lest he profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. So, to interpret that, to translate that, God came first. God came first before family, before land, because they didn't have any land. God comes first in life. And that's a lesson for us. Just as the priest put Adonai first, we're to put God first. Before your family, before your friends, before your work, before your hobbies, God comes first. It doesn't mean don't do any of those things, but it means properly put God first. And let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. You know, there's so many scriptures that back up these concepts of putting God first. just as the priests were to put God. I mean, you could see it. You could see it physically with the priesthood. They had to put God first because they didn't have a lot of this other stuff. They were forbidden from doing some of this stuff. Well, we're not forbidden, but we should have that same priority. Matthew 10:37. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. People can take and twist the scripture and say, well, I don't want to care about anything in the world. I'm just going to serve God and serve God only. And then they neglect their family. They neglect their mother and father. They neglect their children. That's not what the verse is saying. But it's saying, whoever loves them more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever doesn't put me as a priority, okay? And we go back to that priesthood. They were a visible representation to us that the priority of God is first. That's what we need to take away from this. Not that we need to hole ourselves up in some commune somewhere, right? And forget about our families and forget about our lives. But that we are put Adonai first. Amen. Now, the priest service didn't stop with that. They weren't just to put God first and then everything else be fall by the wayside. After putting God first, the priests were also called to serve the people. They weren't called to just serve God. They were also called to serve the people. The Kohanim were responsible for facilitating the sacrifices for the people. They were responsible for representing the people before the Lord. They couldn't forget about the people because they were the ones that had to bring the people along to the Lord. They were the ones that had to show people the Lord. Exodus 28:30. Let's go back to our Torah portion, Tetzaveh. And if you haven't read the Torah portion, and I know we don't have Torah for today, but read through chapter 28. Read through chapter 29. It gives you a great understanding of the priesthood and what they did. Exodus 28:30. And in the breastpiece of judgment, you shall put the Urim and the Thummim, the U and the T from John earlier. They shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Now here's the key. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord regularly. It wasn't that just the priests were serving God and the people were way over there. The priests were to bring people to the Lord, so to speak. They did it by having the breastpiece on them as they went in, part of the garments. They had the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel on them when they went in to minister before the Lord, when they went in to make atonement. They were to bear the judgment of the people of Israel on their hearts. So the priests couldn't forget about the people. They were representatives of Israel to God. And when you're responsible for people, there is a certain amount of care that you have to put in. Now, we've probably all had that boss that really didn't care about us, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you had that boss at work? Well, he really was over here doing his thing, and he could care about his people, right? I've had a few of those bosses. But the better boss, the one that's the more successful boss, is the one that brings the people with him, right, to where he's going. Okay? It's leadership. So the best of the priesthood was to bring people along with them, to not forget about people. And when you're doing that, you can't help but care about people. You can't help but love the people that you're bringing along, that you're bringing to the Lord. God wanted all of Israel to have this care and concern for one another. It's not just the Lord and everybody else. I don't really care about people. I'm just going to go get with the Lord here. That wasn't what the priesthood was about. We see it over and over in Torah. And remember, the priesthood is to be an example to the children of Israel of their role. So with that said, Leviticus 19:18, one of many scriptures that talks about not only loving God, but loving people, bringing people along, bringing people, being responsible and caring and loving for people. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The text does not say here, you are to tolerate your brother. Tolerate them. Because we know you can't get along with them. That's not what it says. It doesn't say talk nicely to them to their face, but against them to their back. It doesn't say that. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Now those are powerful words, and sometimes those are hard to do, especially when people don't want to be kind to us, right? Sometimes it's not fun to love your enemies. Sometimes it's not fun to have care and concern over people. But God thinks this is important enough to tell us to love our neighbor as ourself. Okay? Yeshua, when he was questioned about what is the greatest commandment, what does he say? Turn with me to Mark 12, 31. As you're turning there, I'll give you the first part. When Yeshua is asked by the young, you know, person that comes up, it's a young Torah teacher, and he asks him, what's the greatest commandment? I mean, there's a whole bunch of them here. There's 613. There's a lot of things to do. What is the most important that we should be following? And he says, of course, love God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind. Okay, put God first. We learn that from the priesthood as well. And secondly, Mark 12, 31, Yeshua says this. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Judaism is always taught that you're to love your neighbor as yourself, and how important that is. When the great Jewish sage Hillel was asked to summarize the Torah, what did he say? He said, basically, love your neighbor as yourself. This wasn't a new concept, and Hillel lived about a century before Yeshua, okay? So this is something that was understood in Judaism from a long time ago. Love your neighbor as yourself. Help others, do for others, bring people along. One more scripture on this, John chapter 13, 35. We are to be like this. Not only was the priesthood to show the way, not only was the nation of Israel to do this, but God doesn't change all of a sudden now that we're in the new covenant and we're here thousands of years later. It's the same God. It's the same concepts. It's the same overarching themes. So we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, as believers. We are to show that priority, not just of tolerating people, not just of tolerating those that we come into contact with, whether they're believers or not, but to truly love our neighbor as ourselves. So much so that John 13, 35 says this, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Yeshua doesn't say, people are going to know that you're a follower of me because you follow all these laws so well. He doesn't say, they're going to know you're a follower of me if you dress the right way, if you know all the right words to say, if you know all the catchphrases. He says, they're going to know that you're of me if you have love for one another. So just like we're supposed to love God and put him first, we're supposed to love one another as ourselves. So this is something we could really hone in on here all the way back in Exodus about how to be today as believers. Now we get to the third and arguably the most important part here. Chapter 29 of Exodus. You can turn there. Now, chapter 28 talks about all the garments for the priesthood. It talks about what's to come. You know, we talk about the breastpiece and all these things. Chapter 29 really presses in now. Chapter 29 is 28 builds into 29. There was a inauguration that was supposed to happen, a consecration of the priests so that they could perform their duties. Now, they start performing their duties actually later on, but God is telling them what to do now in Exodus 29. To be consecrated to the Lord means to be made or declared separate. We talked about separation, kadosh, holy, separate. It's one thing to love God and serve him. That's the priority. It's another thing to love other people as yourself. But there's more. Chapter 29 tells us there's more. God wants us to be consecrated to him. Exodus 29, verse 1. Now, this is what you should do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish. And I'm not going to continue to read. There's a lot of stuff in chapter 29. The text goes on to explain the sacrifice that follows, the consecration sacrifice. And when you think about chapter 29, you think about consecrating the priests, the consecration of the priesthood. There's two main things that jumped out at me, two main things that are very clear in chapter 29. The first is that consecration is connected to sacrifice. And it's connected to sacrifice because God goes on to explain consecration means do this, 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 and this. And it's all about sacrificing. It's all about the sacrifice of the animal, the blood of the animal. Exodus 29:11-12. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and you shall take the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar. God puts things at different places in the Word specifically for specific reasons. He doesn't just throw things out there. The fact that consecration in chapter 29 is directly connected with sacrifice in Exodus 29 is no, you know, mistake, because consecration is directly connected to sacrifices. They were consecrated in order to sacrifice before the Lord. The way they got consecrated was to sacrifice before the Lord. And then there's a second point here. You don't just stop there. Consecration, and this is the ultimate goal with consecration. Consecration precedes relationship. And we see that in verse 44 and 46 of Exodus 29. So as we jump to the end of the chapter, really the end of the portion, what we see is all of this stuff about the priesthood, serving God, serving others, being consecrated before the Lord. It's all about being facilitated through sacrifice, but it's all about getting to relationship with God. Exodus 29, 44 to 46. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. Verse 45. I will dwell among the people of Israel and be their God. Verse 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. We can't talk about the priesthood. We can't talk about the consecration of the priesthood without talking about verses 45 and 46. Right after he talks about all that, he says, they shall know that I'll be their God, that I'll be with them, that I will have a relationship with them. All of this stuff isn't done just so that they can be different and, you know, not like the peoples over there. It was all done so they could have a relationship with God. It was all done that they may know that I'm the Lord who brought them out, that I might dwell among them. This is why God's doing everything like that. This is why he's going through all of this elaborate stuff. I mean, there was days of consecration that had to go on for the priests. Why? It was so that there would be relationship with God and his people. The garments, the separation, all the pomp and circumstance, in order to have a relationship with him. Now, how does that apply to us as believers in Yeshua? If we turn to Psalm 51, and many of us can quote parts of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David, and it is a very personal psalm. Some psalms are not as personal as this, but Psalm 51 is directly about consecration to the Lord. It's about consecration being connected to sacrifice. And the act of sacrificing is what? The act of sacrificing is giving up of something of value. It wouldn't be a sacrifice if you didn't give something up. So remember, priesthood, consecration, tied to sacrifice. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So David is seeing this connection here of this broken heart before the Lord, this broken spirit. That is a way of connecting with God. And it's directly talking about sacrificing. We don't have animals that we can go sacrifice, whether we're of the priesthood or the people that were bringing the sacrifices to the priests to be administered there. But we can sacrifice our lives for the Lord. We can sacrifice things of value for the Lord. It's still in play today. That sacrifice, which is directly connected with consecration, is still there today. We have to sacrifice our own ways. We have to sacrifice things that are important to us. Now, if you think about all the things that are important to people in this world that don't know the Lord, and you look out there, what are people interested in? What are things that are important to people? Well, material objects, right? Their livelihood, money, all these things. Those are something of great value. But we're told as priests before the Lord to sacrifice, not to give them up, but to put God first. Remember the priority of God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to be consecrated before the Lord. But that involves sacrificing. It involves sacrificing our rights, our logic, our notion of doing the right thing, and doing God's ways, not our ways. There is a sacrifice there. We have to choose not to make decisions by our own selves. We have to choose to not go out and serve ourselves. We have to choose to serve God. We have to sacrifice to God in order to be consecrated to Him, and then in order to have a relationship with Him. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Yeshua told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself," another way of sacrificing, "and take up his cross, his tree, and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." Said another way, whoever sacrifices, whoever consecrates themselves, whoever gives up their life for Me, they will find their life. So this consecration to the Lord is for us today. This giving up of our own self, this giving up of our own way of thinking, our own way of doing. It may be that God is calling you to give up, and I don't know what it is, in your life, to sacrifice something for Him. That's Him trying to consecrate you. That's Him trying to get you to see, listen, I have this priesthood that you're a part of. You are to be a priest to Me. It's not just for those Levites back then. It's for today as well. Now, no, you're not administering sacrifices, but you are to be a holy priesthood. And if we're to be a priesthood, we are to be as the priests. We are to put God first. We are to put people next. And we are to consecrate ourselves to Him. We are to sacrifice, to give up our own rights to ourselves. And when we do all that, we are truly part of the priesthood of God. One more scripture, John 14, verse 23. It's all connected here. That consecration, that sacrificing, that putting God first and that priority, it ultimately always leads to relationship with God. And as a priesthood, what we're about is showing other people relationship with God and having one ourselves. And this is the end goal of that, all that consecration in our lives. John 14, 23. Yeshua answered him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Doesn't that sound great? Make our home with Him. That's another way of saying we will have a relationship with Him. That's another way of saying Exodus 29, 45, "I will dwell with Him." God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God seeks to dwell with you. God seeks a relationship with you. And God seeks for you and me to be priests unto Him. Holy priests. We are to be like those priests back then. We are to be set apart, consecrated. But in order to do that, there's sacrifice involved. You can't do all the same stuff you used to do in the world and be consecrated to God. Now, He may not ask you to give any of it up, but what He might ask you to do is just put Him at the top of the list, and you can still have all that stuff. He may call you to be that missionary, you know, that whole thing where, "God, I'll do anything You want, just don't make me a missionary to Africa," you know, the whole thing. Well, sorry, He might call you to do that. Or He might call you to be a missionary, I don't know, to someone in Brevard County. He might call you to be a representative here at Kol Mashiach to the Jewish people. And you may say to yourself, "I've never done that before. I'm not a Jewish person. I don't know what it's like to minister to Jewish people." Do you know more Jewish people come to faith through a non-Jew than through a Jew? Most times people don't want to talk to other Jews. What do you know? But a non-Jew who truly loves that Jewish person, they'll listen. And most of our people come to faith through a loving non-Jewish friend. And so, whether we're Jewish or not, we can be that light. We can show people that we are a priesthood, and we can invite people to have that relationship. When we give our lives up to Yeshua, to God, when we consecrate ourselves to Him, just like the priest did, we are fulfilling that relationship. We are allowing God to dwell with us. The question is, most of the world isn't allowing God to dwell with them because they're not taking the proper steps. There's only one way to do it, to be that true priesthood. And it's to die to your own sin, to deny yourself, and follow after him. And when you do that, he will come and he will dwell with you. Let's pray. Lord God, you give us the formula back in Exodus of how to live today as a believer. Help us to understand, Lord, that the Torah speaks of all this. It speaks of atonement. It speaks of salvation. It speaks of relationship with you. If only we would have eyes to see. So, Lord, as we study the priesthood, help us to know and remember this week as we go about our lives that we are a royal priesthood of you. We may not be administering sacrifices, but, Lord, we are called to put you first, to love others as ourselves, to be consecrated to you, to sacrifice to you, and ultimately to have a relationship with you, Lord. What a beautiful thing to be able to dwell with you. The God of all creation, you loved us enough that you give us the formula back in Exodus of how to have a relationship with you. So, Lord, I just pray for all of us here that you would open our eyes to how to be better priests to you, to how to be that royal priesthood, Lord. There's so many believers walking around in the world that don't really know or even want to be priests, Lord. But we seek that. We seek to be consecrated unto you. We seek to put you as a priority in our life. We seek to be a light. And Lord, there's the formula always works. You'll dwell with us. So Lord, I just pray for everyone sitting here today. Pray for all those watching that you would stir up in them, Lord God, that notion of being a priesthood, what it means. And if there's anyone that doesn't know you, Lord God, that you would speak to them, that you would drop those scales from their eyes, that you would open up their heart to see that that consecration, that sacrifice is worth it, because then the God of all creation will dwell with them. And we pray for that, Lord, more and more, that you would open people's hearts to accept you, to accept that sacrifice of Yeshua, and to dwell with you, Lord, to have a relationship with you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.